It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm your host, Keith Manley, and this week we started a brand new teaching from the book of Colossians, verse by verse. And yesterday we left off, I believe, about verse 21, where it said, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation." I believe most of us realize that on our own, in our own flesh, we could never be good enough for God to accept us. How holy did we have to be? He said, "Be ye holy, even as I am holy." I don't think we can make that mark on our own, friend. So what did God do? He sent his son. God so loved the world, he sent his son to give his life for us so that he could see us holy. And he reconciled us. And how did he do it? Through Christ's physical death on the cross. Now God sees us holy, without blemish, and free from accusation. Don't you wish the rest of the world could see us the way that God sees us? He says, "This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant." See, the word gospel means good news. And it's good news that God loved us so much that he sent his son to reconcile us back to himself through Christ's death on the cross. Now today we're going to pick up with verse 24. Paul is talking about his own concern for the church. He says this, "Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, which is the church." This can really get lost in translation because you could say, how could something be lacking in what Jesus did? Well, it wasn't, friend, but Paul was talking about his own personal suffering. Let me read this out of the message. "I want you to know how glad I am that it's me sitting here in this jail and not you. There's a lot of suffering to be entered into in this world, the kind of suffering Christ takes on. I welcome the chance to take my share in the church's part of that suffering. When I became a servant in this church, I experienced this suffering as a sheer gift, God's way of helping me serve you, laying out the whole truth." So nothing was lacking in what Jesus did. The atonement was complete. He paid for our sins. But what Paul's telling us here is there's still some more suffering, and that is the suffering that we go through in this world. Verse 25, Paul says, "I have become its servant," speaking of the gospel, "by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints." You spoke about this a while back when we taught the book of 1 Peter, and Peter said, even angels long to look into this salvation we have. The Old Testament prophets, they looked forward to it, but even angels want to get a glimpse. Paul says, "That which was kept hidden for generations is now disclosed to the saints." I believe God wants you and I to ponder today, friend, just how wonderful this salvation is that we have in Jesus Christ. He says in verse 27, "To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." I want to say that one more time because that's powerful. This mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, prior to this new covenant, they could only know God with them. But now it's God in us. What a difference. It's now Christ in us through the person of the Holy Spirit. Paul said in verse 28, "We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ." Now, the Apostle Paul is different than all the other apostles. Peter had his mission. John had his mission, which would end on the Isle of Patmos as he was exiled and he would write the book of Revelation. But it was the Apostle Paul that God specifically chose to take the good news of the gospel and take it to the Gentiles. You and I had no hope because we were not born into the Jewish family under the children of Abraham. But through the Apostle Paul, God opened the door to teach us and share with us that now there's no difference in Jew nor Greek, bond or free, male or female. We're all one now in Christ Jesus. We proclaim Him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. You see, Paul said, we proclaim Him. It's Christ that I preach, Paul says. I admonish and teach everyone with all wisdom, so we can present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. I love the last verse, verse 29 of chapter 1. Paul says, to this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. That's grace, friend. Grace is the energy of God. It's the power of God in us to do for us what we cannot do in ourselves. Now we're going to pick up with my favorite chapter in the book of Colossians. Let's get started today with Colossians chapter 2. Paul says, I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea, another church in the area, and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Did you know, friend, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? It's only when we come into relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, that God really can open true wisdom and knowledge in our hearts. Paul reminds us that it's in Jesus that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. He said in verse 4, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. See, the church was under attack. All these false teachers were coming in, trying to deceive these Christians and bring them in under the law. And Paul's telling them, I'm telling you this. I'm telling you what you have in Christ, so that nobody can deceive you. And he said in verse 5, for though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. It must have been so difficult for the Apostle Paul. He had love for each of these churches. He saw the attacks they were under by these false teachers, and he writes to them these inspired words from God to encourage them and firmly ground them in the truth. Now pick up with verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. Let's pause there. How did you receive Jesus as Lord? By grace, through faith. You believed in something that you couldn't see, and it was extended by the grace of God. God's ability in you to do for you what you can't do yourself. So look what he said. Just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. I'm saved by grace. I'm healed by grace. My finances are enough by grace. Paul says, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Now verse 8 picks up with really the heart of this chapter. He says in verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. It was so easy for the people to depend upon their Jewish heritage, to depend on what the rabbis said rather than depend on Christ. And Paul's telling them here, make sure nobody takes you captive with this hollow and deceptive philosophy. And then in verse 9, he tells us why. He says, "For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority." See, these false teachers were creeping in the church. They wanted people to feel they were missing something. They wanted people to add to the gospel. But Paul is reminding them, don't let people cheat you with philosophy and these vain traditions. The philosophy that Paul was warning them of was this doctrine of Gnosticism that had crept into the church. And it was a mixture of Greek philosophy and Jewish mysticism put together. You see, friend, the Gnostics taught basically that God could not come into contact with flesh. So they basically denied that Jesus could have come as God in the flesh. That's why Paul is so careful to point out to us that Jesus is God in the flesh. He was there at the creation of the world and the universe, and that he was superior to angels. But Paul warned them about the traditions of men and the philosophies of men that come against God's word. He said in verse 9 again, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." He wanted them to know that Gnosticism was a lie. And he said, "And you've been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority." He said in verse 11, "In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead." Now Paul is coming against those who would come in with Judaism, trying to put people back under the law. They had to be circumcised. Paul's saying, no, this is a new circumcision. It's one of the spirit and not of the flesh, and it's done by Christ. You were buried with him in baptism. He's not talking about water baptism here. He's talking about baptism into Christ, which is done by the Holy Spirit, and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. One time an art collector bought what he thought was a rare, priceless painting. He spent a fortune and he proudly displayed it. But when experts examined it, they discovered it was a fake. Though it looked authentic on the surface, it lacked the qualities of the real masterpiece. You see, false teachings can appear convincing, and sometimes they look valuable, but they're spiritually counterfeit. They promise wisdom and fulfillment, but they lead us away from the real truth that's life-changing in Christ Jesus. And Paul warns us here in Colossians to examine what we believe, not to let philosophies of men and the vain traditions that have been handed down from the past hold us back from receiving everything God has for us, the fullness that's in Christ. Paul said, examine what you believe. Hold fast to the truth of the gospel. This week on Fresh Oil, we're examining the book of Colossians, my favorite epistle that Paul wrote. I believe it's so powerful, and tomorrow we're going to deal with some of my favorite verses. I call it "A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Cross. The Law Got Nailed." This is life-changing, what you're going to hear tomorrow. Make sure you tune in to Fresh Oil. Let me remind you that if you miss one of our teachings and you want to catch up on the verse-by-verse, you can catch us on anywhere you find your podcasts, on Apple Podcasts. You can go to our YouTube channel, Spotify, Pandora, wherever you get podcasts. Just search Keith Manley, Fresh Oil, and you can listen to all the programs there. Thanks again for joining us, my friend, and we'll see you tomorrow. Walk in grace. God loves you. He really does.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He he makes his mercies new every morning.